It's been a long day. It's been a difficult day. And just from a couple of phone calls, we all felt intuitively. Shavuot Matan is a difficult day to fast. 105 degree weather doesn't make it easier. But not just difficult in the sense of dehydration and physically getting through the tinnitus. It's a difficult day for Avoda. What's one supposed to do? The Mizrahi Yerushalayim, the breaking of the Luchas, the breaking of the walls of Yerushalayim. How am I supposed to, what's supposed to do with this? And it's not just a day of Avoda that I'm struggling to think through, but it's 3 weeks. It's 22 days of Avelos of Yerushalayim coming up. What's supposed to do that? There's a line that Chaim Friedlander quotes from Yisrael Salanter that connects the tinnitus coming up in 3 weeks from now to the next major tinnitus. And he says you can accomplish on Tisha B'Av in a certain sense the way you can accomplish, rivaled perhaps only by the degree to which you can accomplish on Yom Kippur. They seem so different. We're fasting on both. Yom Kippur is such an exalted day. We feel uplifted. And Tisha B'Av, we feel pushed down. Literally pushed down. Existentially. Spiritually. You gain, you grow on a Tisha B'Av, you grow on a Shavuot Matan. It's hard to understand. If it wasn't hard enough to understand, like, how are we supposed to grow with this? How are we supposed to be Masav Yerushalayim? How are we supposed to grow? If it wasn't difficult enough to understand, you open up a test, you discover that in case you succeed in doing it, you're a criminal. A punishable criminal. Arguably one of the most bizarre stories of the Amoraim told throughout Talmud Bavli. Rara tells in Bava Kama Daf and Tess the story of Eliezer Ze'ira. A humble tzaddik, Eliezer the small. Eliezer Ze'ira, the Gemara says, was arrested by the Jewish police in the city of Nahar Da'ah, one of the centers of Jewish population, of Jewish learning in Bavel during the period of the Amoraim. His crime? Wearing black shoes. That's what Gemara says. Gemara says, Eliezer Ze'ira of Asayim Nisani Uchmi, Koi B'Shukit Nahar Da'ah. He's wearing black shoes and standing in the public areas of Nahar Da'ah. And the Reish Galusa's police, Reish Galusa was the political leader of the Jewish community in Bavel. So the Reish Galusa's police say, well, what's with the shoes? What are you wearing the black shoes for? Black shoes at the time were not a typical mode of dress. Black shoes at the time were a sign of mourning. So they knew that his family, Baruch Hashem, was intact. They said, what's with the black shoes? So he said, come on, Vilna Yerushalayim. So Baruch Hashem, my family is intact, but national avelos. I'm in mourning for Yerushalayim. That's why I'm dressed in mourning. That's why I'm dressed in black shoes. They say to him, You? At chashivas is about Yerushalayim? You think that you're chashivas, that you're a substantial enough Jew, a significant, spiritually accomplished enough Jew to mourn over Yerushalayim? Who do you think you are? Savor Yurahav. So the Jewish police say, you must be a Baal Gaiva. You're not a big tzaddik. You think that you're worthy to be mourning for Yerushalayim? They lock him the right to throw him in jail for the sin of Gaiva, for the sin of arrogance, because he dares to wear black shoes, because he dares to portray himself as a sort of Jew who's worthy to mourn over Yerushalayim. And the Gemara describes, it must have been so incredibly uncomfortable for him. He has to say, no, actually, I am a tzaddik. Actually, I am a rabbi, and then the Gemara tells it, Gemara says, they start giving him bechina. I said, really, you're Talmud Chacham? Well, tell us this and tell us that. And he tells them enough dinim, they say, Taka, you seem like you actually are a big Talmud Chacham. Sorry, rabbi, you are entitled to mourn Yerushalayim. Go ahead, go back to the streets of Yerushalayim. You can wear your black shoes all you want. Ad kan divra Gemara. Take a look. Well, Kama Daf Nun Tes, 59. Bizarre Gemara. The notion that a Jew would be put into jail for having bad midos. So that's a madrega. The fact that black shoes were not typical and black shoes are sign of veils, okay, cultural differences. But the notion that you need to be a really special person to mourn over Yerushalayim to the extent that you dare to mourn Yerushalayim as though you think you're an unusual tzaddik, Baal Gaiva you are, we'll throw you in jail. So who are we? Who are you and who am I? And we're all guilty of the same crime. And for the next 3 weeks, who do we think we are? What does it mean? A veil of Yerushalayim is something that's reserved for a special few? So, they only tell you when it's all over. By the way, only 1% of the population should have been fasting on Shabbat Matzah. What does it mean? The Yehuda Levi, and in Sefer HaKuzri, in the first Ma'amar, the first section of Sefer HaKuzri is this glorious work of Hashkafa that's crafted as a conversation between a king who's a king of an area in Kafkaz who's searching for spiritual authenticity. He's trying to be religious, but it's not working, it's not doing it right. And he's looking for what's real. And he checks out different religions and different philosophical traditions, ultimately comes to the conclusion that Yadus is the way to go. And the bulk of the sefer are the conversations that the king has with the chaver, with the Talmud chaver, with the representative of the Torah Judaism. And they're very, very, like any good conversation. It goes from topic to topic, very rich. One of the many, many ideas that he touches on is the following. He says, you know, you take a look at a map, take a look at a globe, you know, basics of geography, different areas of the world have different climates. Polar bears don't do well in Burgundy. Maple trees wouldn't do particularly well near the North Pole. Each area of the world has its own flora and fauna. Each area of the world has its own climate. It lends itself to certain types of plant, animals and plants and not to others. Sefer Kuzi writes, if it's true physically, it's true spiritually as well. Different areas of the world also have their own spiritual climates. Different areas of the world lend themselves more easily or be more difficult to seek out different spiritual pursuits. And if it's true that different areas of the world have different spiritual climates, it's probably also true that different times of the year have different spiritual climates. And different times of the year lend themselves to particular spiritual pursuits. When we say that a certain period of time is mesugal to work on X, that's what we mean. We mean at this period of time, the spiritual climate at this time of the year lends itself for cultivating this part of our neshama, cultivating this part of our avodas Hashem. All year long, to be mesabel over Yerushalayim, unless you're an unusually special person, well nigh impossible. Apparently, this season of the year, the season that began today, the season that began last night, all of a sudden it's something that's accessible to all of us. It's the skula of the 3 weeks that we're able to tune in a way that we normally couldn't. Look forward in Mirtz Hashem in less than 2 days again on a plane. Danger to Eretz Yisrael with many of our young men. And Beit Moshav Beit Meir is a spiritually glorious place. When it comes to cell phone reception, it's a little bit kacha kacha. Let's just say it's a bit on the rugged side. So there are spots where you, if you get the right spot, you climb the right tree, you step on the right ledge, and then just the right, you can get good reception. If you're the wrong spot, it comes and goes. You're on the phone with someone. You're sitting in Beit Meir on the phone with family in America, and all of a sudden the call drops. Does that mean that they decide to hang up on you? Well, hopefully not. Maybe it just means that you had bad reception. When reception is crystal clear, then if you can't get through, that means no one's answering the phone. If you're trying to listen to your favorite channel on the radio as you're driving, so if you're far from the city and everything is staticky, so you may not really hear anything. They're broadcasting, you're just not able to hear because staticky.
But if you're in a place with crystal clear reception, and you turn the dial to the channel that you want to listen to, and it's just silence, you know they're not broadcasting. All year long, there's a lot of static. All year long, it's hard for us to feel what we miss. To feel, think about that for a moment. To know that we miss Yerushalayim. Ramban already writes, and to know that we miss Yerushalayim, that's a challenge. We would never, Baruch Hashem, may have been to the city of Yerushalayim. None of us have ever seen a Beis HaMikdash. Do we know what we're missing? Because it's not just about the building. They talk often in the Yom Tov time. Yom Tovim are as exciting as Yom Tovim are. I mean, not only personally exciting, but spiritually exciting. As rich as they are, as colorful as they are, but we're missing so much from our Yahavis, so much from our Yom Tovim without a Beis HaMikdash. Pesach is beautiful, but Pesach without a Karban Pesach. You don't begin to imagine what it would be like to sit with a Karban Pesach, to sit with millions of Jews. Everyone, Kumsitz is the ultimate Kumsitz. The rooftops of Yerushalayim, Hallel everywhere, to watch Kohanim. The day when everyone's cut, Jews are surrounding Beis HaMikdash, bringing Karbanos. To imagine what it would be like if Sukkos with a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Tosus writes between the last parak of Sukkah, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, drawing, not just drawing water, Jews would draw Ruach HaKodesh from being in Beis HaMikdash to the Tao over Sukkos. And that's just Yom Tovim. We're so glad to have with us, ladies and gentlemen, we have the privilege of sitting here now with a Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael. Imagine that we all lived in Eretz Yisrael. Imagine we lived in Eretz Yisrael with a Beis HaMikdash. You know what we're doing now? Now is prime time for going, traveling from the office, especially if you're a farmer, but we'll talk in our terms, from the office to make a report, an annual report to God, in front, standing right next to Mizbeach. A Jewish farmer lives in Eretz Yisrael during the time of Beis HaMikdash. During the summertime, the fruits have grown. You come to Beis HaMikdash with the first fruits of the Bikurim. Imagine standing, you're right next to the Mizbeach. You went from the office to make a report to the ultimate divine CEO, face to face. You come to Mizbeach, you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say out loud, Arami HaManavi, Ribon Shalom, I'm so touched. You took care of us. We've had a hard life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took care of us then. You took us out of Mitzrayim. You brought us out of Yisrael. I owe you my... What I've produced this year, it's because of you. Can you imagine if every one of us had the chance to do that every single year? To stand at the Mizbeach and to say, Adam Asher Nasatili, Yerushalayim, you gave me this piece of land. You gave us this country. Can you imagine what that? How transformative that is? And every single thing. The basics of our yavas. Torah and Chesed and Tefillah. Beis HaMikdash is not just a place of, it's not only a place of karbanos. It is that. It's also where, it's the center of Torah Shebichtav. The official Sifrei Torah are there, the Luchos are there. It's the center of Torah Shel Peh. The Sanhedrin is situated right next to the Mizbeach. The architecture of Beis HaMikdash reflected opportunities for B'Menachem and Avel and B'Mesameach HaChasa. And finally, we just davened Shemar Esrei, about to daven Shemar Esrei again. Ever notice we ask for the same thing two brachas in a row? We ask for Kabbalah Satfil and Shema Kolenu. We ask for Kabbalah Satfil again in the very next bracha. Every day. Redundancy? Same thing? Repeat the next bracha? Absolutely not. Because to daven now and to daven in a Beis HaMikdash context, two entirely different types of experiences. But all year long, it's really hard to feel that. At chashivas l'sabul Yerushalayim v'yagavar rabba. If we were big tzaddikim like Eliezer Zahira, then we could feel what we're missing in the middle of Teves, in the middle of Siva. If we had such good reception all year long. If our neshamas were so plugged into Ribbono Shel Olam, then we would feel what's missing, that there's something not being broadcast all year long. But we're not that type of Davar Rav. Halava. We're not Eliezer Ze'ira. But every single Jew could be Mesavu Yerushalayim for these 22 days that begin today, and if Mashiach doesn't come by then, we'll complete Tisha B'Av. It's a remarkable opportunity because now every single Jew has great reception. We're attuned enough to Ruchnius to notice what we're missing. And to notice what we're missing, that's the first step to building towards having it. So the Avoda that begins today, Saul Salanter's line of which it began, that unusually spiritually powerful day of Tisha B'Av, we have 3 weeks to build towards that. 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks, and then 9 days, and then Shachalbo, and the Erev Tisha B'Av, and the pinnacle of a Tisha B'Av, yes, the pinnacle of a Tisha B'Av, even if you don't have Beis HaMikdash, but it's a spiritual height, it's an opportunity to be seized. We'll have the access, the segula of being close enough and attuned enough, if we work on it, to notice what's missing and to begin to build towards it. We should be Zocha to Yerob and Hamas, Rishalom. Thank you.